This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
Hello, welcome to Keeping the Faith. My name is Don Nolan. I'm subbing for Steve today. Steve is out of the state. He's attending a national conference for the YMCA. He will be back next Sunday for this program. Today, we are focusing on the topic of a bill before the Illinois House. Is that right, first? The bill is entitled the Illinois Religious Freedom Protection and Civil Unions Act. And we're here to talk about an issue associated with this, and that is the issue of civil unions in the state of Illinois. If this act passes, Illinois may be the fifth state, is that right, that would pass civil unions, as I understand it. And our guests here this afternoon are Reverend Why don't you introduce yourself, since you know the full details, Heidi? Go ahead.
I'm the Reverend Heidi Weatherford. Mm-hmm. I'm the pastor at McKinley Presbyterian Church and the director of McKinley Presbyterian Foundation.
And Kathy Spiegel?
Kathy Spiegel, a citizen here in Champaign County.
And you are associated with the Marriage Equality Champaign County,
correct.
Is that right?
Been working with that group for about 5 years.
Okay. And Jim?
I'm Jim Hannum. I'm here as a parent of a daughter who is a lesbian and in a lesbian relationship. And I also have concerns about some of these issues of civil unions from the standpoint of what I know as a psychologist, too. I'm a psychologist in the community as well.
And you are a faculty member in the counseling psychology department at the university. Is that right?
That's right.
And you also have a private practice here in town.
That's right.
Well, we're going to be talking about this act that is pending before the Illinois House. And if you're interested in talking with Heidi, Kathy, or Jim about this act as we go through the hour, you can call in. This is a call-in show. You can call in to 333-9455. Or, if you prefer, an 800 number is 1-800-222-9455. Well, let's just talk a little bit about your background and how you got interested in this issue of the act before the Congress. Heidi, you've been here for how long?
Well, I've been here in Champaign-Urbana for 6 years now. And I've been an ordained Presbyterian minister going into my 20th year, and I've been performing holy unions for same-sex couples for almost that entire 20-year time. And so this is an issue that's near and dear to me because I'm quite aware of the inequality between same-sex couples and opposite-sex couples regarding it's not about getting married in the church as much as it is to me the automatic rights and privileges that are bestowed upon an opposite sex couple when they get married. When I sign their marriage license at no further cost to them other than the cost of getting married in the first place, they automatically have the right to inherit. They have the right to visit each other in the hospital and make decisions for each other. They have the right to claim each other as beneficiaries and rights of survivorship and automatic joint tenancy. Whereas when I counsel with same-sex couples, I have to tell them to go to a lawyer and to a financial advisor and get as many of those things set up through legal means, which means they're paying for that in addition to it. And even then, they can be challenged by their own family members or the medical establishment. They could just choose to not adhere to the medical directives or follow the wills. So to me, it's a huge justice issue. So I'm very much in favor of civil unions for same-sex couples.
Kathy?
I was just talking to a member of our church congregation this morning who told me that when her partner was taken away to the hospital in an ambulance and she called the hospital to find out where exactly she was, the hospital wouldn't even tell her that her partner was in the hospital. It took her almost a half a day to find her. And if she had just said she was her sister or if she'd been an opposite sex partner, she would not have had that problem. Mm-hmm. I know with my own partner, and we have powers of attorney for medical release of information. They called Friday, and we're going to leave some information. I said, well, you can let me know because I have a power of attorney. And she said, well, I don't have that paperwork with me right now. So if I had said, well, I'm her husband, they would have given it to me immediately. Mm-hmm. So then we had to wait 2 more hours to get that information.
So there's significant legal, financial, and also psychological
Absolutely.
Hazards of not having civil union law.
Absolutely.
Jim?
My experience is another twist on the civil union issue. My daughter and her partner lived in Washington, D.C. for many years, and her partner was from South America. Her partner then ran out of her visa and my daughter, because they were unable to marry or unable to have a civil union, was unable to sponsor her partner as a legal resident of the United States. There was no alternative to them besides having the partner return to South America and reapply for another visa, which was unlikely to be offered. And the alternative they finally decided to take was to move to Canada, which does recognize gay and lesbian unions. And in Canada, my daughter could sponsor her partner and that they then could become on the path toward legal residence of the country. So that's another twist on gay lesbian relationships that marriage automatically grants mm-hmm. to heterosexual couples that are not granted to gay and lesbian couples. And
what is the status of the law in Canada? Is it full recognition of marriage equality or just civil unions?
Canada has a full marriage equality law.
Mm-hmm. As I understand it, just doing a little research ahead of time, New Jersey, Connecticut, Vermont, and most recently California have recognized civil unions. Is that right?
It sounds about right.
This is why I mentioned Illinois would be the fifth in line, which would be quite remarkable for a heartland state right here in the middle of the country to move in that direction. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about what is the Illinois Religious Freedom Protection and Civil Unions Act? A little bit about its history. How did it come before the Congress or the House?
Well, right now, the way the bill stands, the way it's presented, is that it would give same-sex couples in the state of Illinois all the rights and privileges that go with being a couple in a committed relationship. It would be recognized legally. It would not give them any federal privileges. You still couldn't file income tax returns. You still couldn't inherit.
You mean joint returns?
You cannot file mm-hmm. a joint return. Any federal rights you still would not have, mm-hmm. but you would have any of the other rights that other citizens in the state of Illinois has. What it also does is protect religious institutions from being forced to recognize those unions. So basically, it's a civil union, which means it's recognized by the state. And if a church or a congregation chooses then to recognize it, they certainly may, but they are not forced to do that.
Mm-hmm. Now, this mentions religious organizations as well. What protections are afforded religious organizations?
Well, for instance, if my partner and I chose to get a marriage license in the Champaign County, which we've tried to do and were refused, if this passed, we could get that. Then I could take it to my church and say, we would like to have a ceremony here mm-hmm. and have it recognized by the church. And then the church could say yes or no.
Mm-hmm. And I think that it's important to recognize that a civil union is not the same thing as what any church might define as their marriage. They might choose more constrictive criteria for a marriage, or they might be more liberal than the state law allows. Mm-hmm. This is simply allowing a state law that legally recognizes a gay-lesbian relationship as a legal entity.
Is there a requirement now in Illinois that marriages have to be sanctioned in some way by a religious organization?
No.
No.
Okay.
Because not everybody who gets married is religious or has any kind of, sure. you know, that would
Lots
prevent atheists and agnostic people mm-hmm. from getting married. So.
Mm-hmm.
And what? Actually, let me just further say, as the irony is, as the pastor of a more light church, I have no marriage license or equivalent that I can sign for same-sex couples. But as an ordained Presbyterian minister, I automatically am an agent of the state. And when I sign a marriage license for an opposite-sex couple, I am acting as an agent of the state. And in my mind's eye, that to me is a civil union action. And the marriage is merely something that is the holy union that happens in the congregation, in the church. I never sign those marriage certificates as part of that worship service. Mm-hmm. I keep my civic duty as a minister separate from my pastoral duty as the pastor. And I do that largely because of the inequality between same-sex and opposite-sex couples.
Would you tell us what you meant by a more light? What is a more light church?
Oh, yeah, sorry. That was a little bit of jingoism. In Presbyterian world, the Presbyterian churches who welcome gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, intersexed, and questioning people, we call ourselves more light churches based on a phrase from a hymn, from a 17th century hymn that says, God hath yet more light to shed upon us, with our belief that we can't fully know the mind of God and the will of God, and therefore we are continually in dialogue and looking forward and into the future as far as God's inclusion of all people. So a more light Presbyterian church really basically is a church that welcomes gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered persons into full participation in the church context.
How many are there?
More light churches? Oh, I don't know. I think about 130.
Across the country?
Across the country.
And in Illinois?
I think a handful. Mm-hmm. Between 5 and 7.
So this is still an issue with the National Presbytery.
Yes, and we're the only More Light Church in our presbytery, and the region of our presbytery extends as far north as Paxton, as far as west as Decatur, and as far south as Carbondale and Carmi.
Now there are other churches here in town, aren't there, that do marriages? Is that right?
Yes.
Other pastors?
Yes. I know that the Unitarian Church, I think Jim is a member there,
yeah.
They do civil marriages, and I know United Church of Christ does civil marriages, and I know of some other clergy holy unions for gay people is what I'm saying, and I know some other clergy in town who do that, but not necessarily in the context of their church, mm-hmm. because they can get in a lot of trouble with their church, mm-hmm. so they'll do it outside the context of mm-hmm. their church.
Unitarian Church has been involved in this how long? The Unitarian Universalist Church of Champaign-Urbana, is that right?
It's the particular church is the Unitarian Universalist Church of Urbana.
Urbana.
But the National Church has been a supporter of gay lesbian relationships for 25, 30 some years. I don't quite have the date in my mind. It's been a strong sponsor of civil union legislation or marriage legislation in different states on the national level. The national president is very supportive of this, and the church as a whole is welcoming. And that's the phrase we use within our church to indicate that the church has gone through a process of looking at the value that gay, lesbian couples, gay, lesbian, transgendered, and other people bring to the congregation, and learning to and make them fully inclusive in the church life, and to work to remove all barriers that those people may experience in joining and participating in the church. Our particular church went through this process in the early to mid 1990s, and it's a fairly lengthy kind of self analysis, discussion, and then the church finally takes a vote to see if they will vote to become a welcoming congregation. So not every church in the UU has done this, but our church has done this, and most UU churches have done that.
Mm-hmm. Now, does your daughter and her significant other have children yet, or are they intending to?
They do intend to have children, but they don't yet.
Mm-hmm. That's another issue, isn't it, with civil unions? Don't you have legal differences
your
relationship?
It's an important issue, yeah. You know, you want to protect families. You want to protect children. Families do better when there's two parents in the family. It doesn't matter whether it's two heterosexual parents or two gay parents. families do better with two parents in the home. And lots of psychological research studies have found that's the case. Of course, once you have families, sometimes they don't work out anyway, and then you want to protect the children from you want to have a process, a civil process by which people who have run into difficulties in their relationships can divide their property and the relationship, protect the children as they're doing that. Mm-hmm. So I think a civil union bill has a lot of help to provide children in the families of gay, lesbian couples, too. And mm-hmm. it's really important to pay attention to that.
Inheritance issues as well?
It's certainly relates to some inheritance issues. And I'm not sure on that. Maybe you know that better than I do, Kathy.
Well, you have to go to an attorney and make sure that your will is drawn up appropriately. It's not automatic like it would be with opposite-sex couples, mm-hmm. where the surviving spouse would inherit and then the children who are in the relationship would be the next in line. That's not the case in same-sex relationships.
Right. If you are interested, listeners, on this issue, feel free to call in and speak with our guest today about the issue of civil unions and the pending legislation before the Illinois House entitled the Illinois Religious Freedom Protection and Civil Unions Act. You can call in at 333-9455 or 1-800-222-9455. Is there some general figure that you can put on what it costs for couples, gay couples, to go through all of the legal rigmarole that it takes to become as fully protected and involved as legally married heterosexual couples?
Well, I know 5 years ago when my partner and I went through all of that, it cost us over $500. Mm-hmm. for each of us to draw up our own will and our powers of attorney and our medical powers of attorney to make sure that everything was correct, because we wanted to make sure that if either one of us passed on, that the house would go to the other person, that my partner would have all the rights to inherit whatever I had so that she could stay in the house and still have financial security, mm-hmm. and that I wanted to make sure that either one of us had the right to not only visit each other in the hospital, but be able to make decisions about funerals and disposal of the remains, burial, those kinds of things. Because once one of the partners is gone, the other person, your power of attorney no longer exists. Mm-hmm. So it still makes it very difficult for the remaining partner.
So precisely what is a civil union as opposed to legal marriage? How would you define it? And how is it defined in this act?
Unfortunately, I think the word marriage for many people is equal to a religious act. So it's something that happens in a church. Civil unions have been around for a long time. In Europe, that's what you do. You go to the courthouse first and you get your civil license. Then if you choose to have a religious ceremony, you then go to your church and that's set up. They're two totally different things. It's only in this country where states have given religious leaders, sort of blessed them with the right to sign off on those marriage licenses, where everything mm-hmm. is so intertwined. Mm-hmm. So I think that one of the reasons that this is called civil unions and not marriage is because we want to show that difference. This has nothing to do with what happens in a church. It's what happens between the partners themselves. Mm-hmm. It's recognizing their right to be in a committed relationship.
Heidi, is that a figure about right?
Yeah, I think so. First, I want to say an opposite-sex couple who wishes to get married has, if there's a fee for applying for the marriage license and processing it, it's conceivable that that's the only thing they have to pay to get all these rights and privileges. There's about 1,000-plus rights and privileges that are automatic with marriage, and the opposite, the same-sex couple has to set those up.
Is that just a throwaway number, or do you really mean 1,000
plus? It's over 1,000.
It's 1,400.
1,400.
Really?
That's mm-hmm. what Kathy just said, and that seems to jive with what I remember. It's a huge, incredible amount.
Can you expound on that a little bit?
Well, we have been. You know, when we say things like the issues of inheritance, those we're talking about dozens, if not hundreds, of little tiny laws that go into effect that are automatic for opposite-sex couples, but for same-sex couples, you have to set them up. And it even
next of kin issues,
right,
like health,
right,
healthcare setting,
exactly,
insurance,
insurance, mm-hmm, beneficiary status. You have to go change all your forms because it's not automatic. That, you know, if you don't have a spouse, they don't automatically get anything. Mm-hmm. And even if you are a same-sex couple, if your employer doesn't acknowledge your relationship, even with the civil union bill, they don't have to pay you survivorship, your partner survivorship pay upon your death. So whereas a spouse, a married spouse, always gets that. If there's a survivorship benefit, they always get that. A same-sex partner does not. And so even the civil union bill doesn't give all of the rights and privileges that marriage give automatically. But it comes a whole lot closer to it.
Well, it would give all the rights and privileges that the state of Illinois grants to marriage. The problem with the civil union in general is it's a state solution. It's not a national solution. So if you have a civil union in the state of Illinois and then you move to Iowa or Missouri, you don't have those benefits anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But you would have the benefits that if you stayed in the state of Illinois, but you have only the state benefits.
If you moved to one of those other four states, Vermont, Connecticut, you would?
Presumably you would.
Are they coordinated?
I'm not clear that they're coordinated. Now, that's, you know, if you get married in the state of Virginia and it's a – and they have either more liberal or more restrictive conditions for marriage than they have in the state you live in, that doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Each state recognizes other states' marriage. If you have a civil union in another state, other states do not necessarily recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
So that I think this is a process which is unfolding over time. And as more states become have civil union laws, it probably will become the case that states will start recognizing each other's civil union legislation.
Mm-hmm.
But right now there are so few of them, it's not clear that is the case.
You feel a sense of progress? I hesitate to say momentum.
definitely progress, but mm-hmm, right, not a huge amount of momentum.
I'm encouraged that it's coming before our elected officials. I think 5 years ago that would not be happening, and 10 years ago we wouldn't even be here, you know, talking about it perhaps.
Both Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama apparently support civil unions. Legalized civil unions,
yes,
as I understand it. Not marriage.
Not marriage.
Well, Jim, let's talk a little bit about, let's just change the focus a little bit. You focus on counseling and you have a private practice. What are some of the personal aspects to this bill that you would like to communicate to the audience? Are there issues out there at a personal, emotional level that would be resolved or addressed if this was passed?
Well, I think maybe a core issue is that people love who they love, and I think we should support them in those adult love relationships. And help them make those committed steps in their lives. People who have strong, loving relationships with other adults have better lives in many different ways, healthier lives, psychologically healthier lives. When they have children, their families are stronger. As I said earlier, it doesn't matter that this love relationship happens to be in a same-sex relationship or whether it's in a opposite-sex relationship. It's the relationship that makes the difference. And I think as a psychologist that it doesn't make any sense to cut off a certain type of relationship and say, no, that's not a relationship we'll recognize because it's same-sex people. I think that's very hurtful, and that is something I would hope legislation like this will gradually correct.
Have you worked with people on these issues?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. And it's very hard for a same-sex couple, particularly if they're raising children, to deal with some of the stigma that they face, that unknowing people may often think that one of them's not really the parent and one of them's the parent. Mm-hmm. And to some extent, there can even be that kind of legal support for one's really the parent and one's not the parent, based on sometimes biology. But I think the more that we can have legislation that brings in this notion that these are just as important and just as valid relationships as our heterosexual ones, and that they need to be supported by the state and the community just as much as heterosexual relationships do, the more we'll help.
Of course, just getting this law passed is just a first step. There's a lot of other issues that have to be dealt with within the community to get to the point where these issues of discrimination and stigmatization are going to go away. Isn't that correct?
Well, true. You know, there's people with discriminatory attitudes toward lots of people with differences from them. Those probably will always be the case. Mm-hmm. I guess I just hope that we don't institutionalize the discrimination in our laws, and that people may continue to make their choices based on their own personal ways of living and their own mm-hmm. personal values.
This feels very similar to the Civil Rights Acts back in 64 and 65. People used to say, well, you can't legislate morality, but on the other hand, these things do evolve, don't they?
We legislate morality every day.
Yes, we do. How did tell us a little bit, Kathy, about how it feels not to have your union recognized in this state and in this community?
Sometimes it feels very normal. I mean, I get up every morning and I go to work every day, and I come home and watch TV or work on the computer, and I'm just like everyone else. Between my partner and I, we have 18 grandchildren and 8 children. So we have all of the same things that other families deal with, you know, kids and colds and sicknesses
and large Christmas bills.
Oh, horror. Yes. and so life seems very, what I would say, normal. But then there are times when I have to look at, for instance, right now, because I'm working on income tax, so I can't file as head of household. I can't file as a, two couples together. I have to file two. And if you can imagine, I mean, nobody likes doing income tax.
Have you calculated what you lose by having not being able to have it?
It's significant. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't do it together because I can't file that way. Mm-hmm. But, yes, it does make a difference. And then it sort of smacks you between the eyes like this isn't fair. It just isn't fair. There's no reason why we should be penalized. We haven't done anything wrong. We're no different than anyone else. We pay our taxes. We, you know, mm-hmm. support the community in all ways. So then it's, you know, then I get angry.
Would a legally sanctioned union, civil union, help with families, help with help with this issue of stigmatization within communities? I mean, my guess is being able to say, well, this is legally sanctioned, it's approved by the state of Illinois. I understand that this has helped to some extent, and I have some family in Vermont that have indicated that this has helped personally.
I think it has to help because it gives some credence to the relationship and some protection and some safeguards in place, and anything we can do for families that will help them worry less about minutiae so they can focus – minutiae that is unfair and unjust, so they can focus on taking care of their family and raising healthy children and nurturing one another. It can only be supportive in the long run for families. I think that having a civil union act will be incredibly helpful to same-sex couples who are struggling, whether they're raising children or just dealing with elderly parents or whatever their family structure is. I think when somebody says you are a full human being, you have the right to love whom you love, and we will see that and not treat you as a second-class citizen because you love differently than what I believe or you believe or she or he believes. I think that's a good thing.
We're halfway through our program. It'll just take a minute to reintroduce our guests. We have with us today Reverend Heidi Weatherford, who is pastor at the McKinley Church and executive director of the foundation there. Kathy Spiegel, who is a member of Marriage Equality of Champaign County. And Jim Hannum, who is the parent of a daughter in a lesbian relationship, who is also faculty in counseling psychology at the University of Illinois and has a private practice. And we are talking this afternoon about the pending bill before the Illinois House entitled, I never get it right, Illinois Religious Freedom Protection and Civil Unions Act. Is that right?
Correct.
And as I understand it, that has been extended through March. Right. And when I looked it up on the Internet, those extensions have been multiple. Apparently, it's been haggled over since March of last year, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of fireworks surrounding this, and it's been extended again. And our guests are here to talk about the value of this legislation and why it will be good for our area in the state of Illinois. Jim, isn't it the case that the university has made significant progress along these lines?
Well, the university certainly has extended benefits to same-sex partners, and that wasn't always the case. I think that may have been three or 4 years ago.
They do extend domestic partnership benefits to their faculty, but the partner has to pay taxes on that as if it's additional income. Mm. Whereas if you're married, you don't pay taxes on that. It's a benefit your spouse gets. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. That's a benefit and then not quite an equal benefit.
Not an equal benefit.
By the way, if you'd like the numbers again, if you'd like to talk to our guest, the number locally is 333-9455. If you want to call long distance, it's 1-800-222-9455. And we're talking about the civil union legislation before the Illinois House. There is a legislator that said the following, which caught my eye, Representative Paul Froelich, who is from Schaumburg, a Schaumburg Republican. And he originally resisted this act, although I think he may be coming around, as I understand it. He said at one point in the debate, if it can be defined to mean anything, then it may mean nothing. Of course, he was referring to the idea of extending legalize civil unions. How would you respond to someone who's has that concern? If we pass legislation to have civil unions in the state of Illinois for gays and lesbians, then won't that undermine the meaning of marriage in general? It will mean nothing, according to him. How would you respond to that?
I'll take a crack at this. I think what I would like to say first about that is that it's very clear in this particular act that a religious organization that doesn't believe in same-sex marriage will not be forced to provide that for same-sex couples. So if they don't believe, if folks don't agree with two men or two women marrying, having unions with each other, civil unions with each other, they don't have to participate in that. I take issue, I think, with his assumption that including same-sex couples in this means that anything goes and it's open to anybody and that it means just anything at all. What I want to say is for the same-sex couple who's committed, and I know there are members of my congregation who have been in a committed relationship with each other for more than 20 years. Some have been in committed relationships in the 5 years that I've been there. They run the gamut, and just like straight couples do. And it means the world to them to have their relationship recognized. And this is not saying anything goes. This is saying same-sex people in a committed relationship can have a union and therefore have all many of the rights and benefits of opposite heterosexual couples in a marriage. It evens up the score because it's not even now. It's unjust. It puts the weight better in balance so that gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender persons aren't of unequal status, according to the law, but of more equal status. Right now, they're not of equal status. Right now, if you are gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and you want to be in a relationship with someone of the same sex, you do not have equal status as your heterosexual counterparts. This is not anything goes. This is not just, you know, well, you know, if you do this, then you're saying anything can happen. And I think I get really offended by that.
Mm-hmm. He went on to point out that what's next? Three or more? I assume he's talking about polygamy.
But you know, there have been gradual evolution of the concept of a relationship over time that had been part of the law.
Can you describe that a little bit?
Well, as recently as 40 years ago, interracial marriages were illegal in a lot of states. Those have all changed. That change has not seemed to suddenly reestablish the morality of marriage in a different way. This feels like the same kind of issue to me. In granting privileges to more people to enter into a relationship which is considered a good type of relationship to have, how can that be bad? And in this case, it's somewhat the same issue, that we are blocking a whole segment of our population from having an adult, committed, loving relationship simply because they're of the same sex as each other.
Talk a little bit more. You said it means so much to them. What does it mean exactly? Help for those who might be on the fence on this issue, what does it mean to a gay couple to have this recognition? Why is it so important? Why don't you just simply go to your lawyer and pay your $500 and get what you want? What is there about this that means so much to
them? Do you remember the terminology illegitimate child? And how hurtful it was to be labeled as a bastard child or an illegitimate child. How can any child be illegitimate? They're here. They're real. My relationship with my partner is just as real as yours is with your heterosexual partner. Mm-hmm. And to have that recognition, to not be stigmatized somehow to show that mine is less or it somehow is not legal or that I'm not entitled, mm-hmm. diminishes the ability to make that relationship full.
Mm-hmm. We have a caller in line one. Yes, you're on Keeping the Faith. You have a question for one of our guests.
Yes, actually, it's just more of a comment. I've been listening to you, and you have been talking about how civil union laws have been present in Europe for quite a long time. But I also wanted to point out the fact that many nations in Latin America, most recently Mexico, mm-hmm. about a year ago, have been legalizing civil unions in various different parts. I mean, Mexico City itself did this in fall 2006. And more recently, Uruguay is talking about it nationwide. So it strikes me that the United States is kind of, I don't know, behind the game when other developed nations, obviously in Europe, have already done this. And the nations that have, you know, these strong religious traditions in particular veins, such as Latin American nations, have realized that, you know, human diversity is something that occurs, and it occurs among their own populations, and these people have every bit as right to be recognized by the state, regardless of the position of the Catholic Church or evangelical Christians in those particular nations. Just something that I thought I would point out.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Your response?
Yes, that's correct. And I mean, we've got Canada on one side and certain states in Mexico on the other side of us who have already legitimized those relationships. The United States is somewhat behind.
Mm-hmm. South Africa, Spain, I think the Netherlands.
Netherlands, yeah.
Belgium.
And mm-hmm. several of these are predominantly Catholic countries. The Catholic Church still has a drag on this issue, isn't that right?
I believe they have. They do, yeah.
And yet within the Catholic Church itself, Dignity is a group such as More Light in the Presbyterian Church mm-hmm. that is working for that kind of equality and recognition within that
Are
church.
Are you in the Catholic Church?
No, I am no longer there.
Uh-huh. Okay. But there is a movement within the church.
Yes, mm-hmm. it's called Dignity.
Okay.
Has been for quite a while. Mm-hmm.
It, It's called Dignity. That's the full name. Mm-hmm. And do you know anything about the history of that movement?
No, I don't. I just know that they are working for recognition for same-sex couples, similar to what we do with More Like. I am currently a member of the Presbyterian Church, mm-hmm. where Heidi is pastor. Uh-huh. And they're doing the same kind of work within that church. Right. I choose just not to participate there.
Right.
I think in most denominations, perhaps not all, but most, have some group of folks advocating for gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered equality issues within their church, whether their church welcomes that, like the Unitarian denomination and the United Church of Christ, or whether their church actively speaks against it, like the Roman Catholic Church, or whether their church is equally divided, like the Presbyterian Church is equally currently saying they're against it, but by a very, very thin margin. And a lot of mainstream Protestant churches fall into that that category.
The Episcopalian denomination. Are we on? Hello? Hello?
Yes, I think we're on.
Okay,
hello,
good.
Hello, everybody.
I wonder if we're having weather-related issues.
Yeah, we are.
I think we just had a
power down
signal,
for a minute, yeah.
signal from on high, shall we say. maybe we're being listened to at a farther extent. I know, Heidi, you've been involved in this in many different ways, but the Christian tradition has struggled with this in a variety of ways. That's why I mentioned the Catholic Church, and you mentioned Presbyterians. Episcopalians have split on this. Southern Baptist Convention is split on this. Do you have a sense of where Christianity in the United States, Protestantism, Catholicism, might be going? Do you see a direction? Is there a pattern or a progress?
I think I'm going to be very positive and hopeful about this and say that I think ever so slowly mainline Christian churches in the United States are moving towards greater inclusion of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered persons in general, and especially in as regards the same-sex union or marriage issue. And I think that as generations grow older, as folks who are in their 20s now gain more power, and as folks who are in their teenage years grow older and gain more power, we're going to see this become more and more accepted. As I work with college students, I find they feel like churches are totally irrelevant and not at all in tune with basic justice issues. Whether they, and even those, because I've taught courses for the university on this dialogue conversation, and even those who, for religious reasons, disagree with same-sex marriages would fully support unions, because they feel like they don't have the right to tell people what they can do, but within their own church context, they're not going to support a marriage. So I really do think that this will come to a conclusion at some point.
Yeah. I want to come back to that in just a minute, but we have a caller on line one. Hello, you're on Keeping the Faith. Do you have a question?
Actually, more of a comment myself.
Sure.
As someone in a committed same-sex relationship for 27 years, it would be wonderful to be able to have that recognized, at least as a civil union, by the state of Illinois, in which we reside, and of course even better to have some sort of federal recognition. But another thing that I'd like to point out is that just because same-sex unions are not recognized does not mean that all these people that are in same-sex relationships are going to magically turn heterosexual and go into some sort of opposite sexual relationship. And so why deny the people that are not going to be changing their orientation the opportunity to experience or benefit from the kinds of things that you've been talking about that we can benefit from? The other thing that I've noticed over my many years of being an out gay man is that there are a number of people, both gay and lesbian, that because of society's lack of support still are reluctant to come out of the closet when they know that they are, in fact, gay or lesbian, or maybe strongly bisexual one way or the other, and that they would like to enter into a relationship with a same-sex partner, but they don't. They still hide. They will sometimes marry someone of an opposite sex, and then that causes all kinds of problems with a person thinking they can change their orientation, realizing that they can't, or that it's hard to suppress that aspect of oneself, and then they end up having all kinds of difficulties as a result of that, especially if there are children involved. And my partner and I have had a number of friends that have married And then not to say that they wished they hadn't, because sometimes children are involved and then those children wouldn't be around. But yet it does cause another level of pain when people are not allowed to be fully who they are.
Thank you very much for your comment.
You're welcome.
Your response.
I thought that was really wonderfully said. Thank you for your comment.
Thank you very much. We have another caller on line two. Hello, you're on Keeping the Faith. You have a question or comment. Hello? Line two? Line one. Hello, you're on Keeping the Faith. You have a question or comment? Okay, I think we may have lost them. Weather must be playing games with us. Heidi, let's talk a little bit more about young folks. There seems to be, I think, Barack Obama's rise seems to indicate to a lot of people that there's been a generational shift, the likes of which we may not have been fully aware of. Is that your sense about the young people's attitude towards heterosexual gay issues? Is there a shift in values here that shows promise for the future?
I'm not going to say there's a shift in values as much, because I think the values hold strong. I just think that how they're applied is broadened. And what I mean by that is the same values hold that a value in a committed relationship, a value in a family unit that can be supportive of itself is still there. We're not talking about anti-family, but we're expanding it to include people who have been normally cut out, like the last caller said so well, that gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender people aren't going to become straight. They might try, but they're not really going to be able to do that in order to fit into the mold. And so what I see young people is basically they accept that, they understand that, they recognize that, they've expanded the definition of what it means to hold that value.
And what I find in working with high school students is their comment is, what difference does it make? Mm-hmm. They really don't see the difference. Mm-hmm. To them, it's a committed relationship, period.
To what extent is that prevalent among high school students?
Well, I work
with... It's interesting
to
hear you saying that.
Because we talk about when we... I work for Planned Parenthood, and we do a lot of sexuality education in the schools. And one of the things we talk about is the issues around sexual orientation, gender mm-hmm. equality. And we find that so many of the students don't see it as an issue. Mm-hmm. It's like, what's the deal?
Now, why is that? Media exposure? What?
I think some of what Heidi's talking about is a great deal. There are worse things to worry about. Mm-hmm. To them, it isn't a big deal. Mm-hmm. That's not to say that that's true everywhere, because we still see some discrimination and bullying going on in secondary schools and in junior high. But for kids that have been exposed to more lifestyles, I think they see that there really isn't a big difference.
You find that in your practice, too, Jim?
I do. Maybe on a more personal level, I see it in my son, who's in his late 20s, and he's quite casual about the issue, even though he himself is a heterosexual male. And I compare that to my parents' generation, who are still quite, I guess they don't quite know how to deal with the issue of same-sex, like their granddaughter who's in a same-sex marriage. They're learning to grit their teeth, I guess this would be the thing that I say they're doing. Whereas my son and his friends seem to be just quite accepting of it, and it's on a much more fundamental level than I would have expected. I see very hopeful change going on in the younger generation.
We may have gotten our caller back. I might have pushed the button the wrong way. Hello, you're on line one. You have a question or comment.
Yes, thank you. I was wondering, are there any other civil rights or legal rights that a clergy person is legally able to grant somebody? I mean, when they perform a baptism, they don't automatically issue a Social Security card. Is there any other legal, comparable legal thing that clergy people can do besides marry people?
We have a resident expert, Heidi.
Yes, to the best of my knowledge, and I think I know it pretty well, the only way we are an agent of the state is in that we can sign a marriage license that says two opposite sex people have been joined together in marriage and civil union. And that's the only federal and state legal power that I or any other clergy person has.
Well, I guess my personal opinion is that it should be taken away from them. I don't. It seems to me a basic issue of separation of church and state that if people are going to be granting legal rights and legal powers, it should be an agent of the government that, you know, a judge or a justice of peace or something, and that if clergy people want to bless it and somehow have a religious ceremony around it, go ahead. But I just don't see why they have the authority to offer that right to people in general.
I agree.
Thank you.
I thank you for your statement, and I absolutely agree with you, actually. And so much so that in my own congregation, I no longer perform opposite sex marriages except for members of the church because they're part of my family. And we do things for our family that we might not do for total strangers. But I do perform same sex holy unions and marriages for the members of my church, but I don't perform marriages from folks who aren't members of the church because I really am offended that clergy are used by the state and by the government to further this injustice. And I really want no part of it. And I would urge you to write to your state representatives and your federal congressional representatives and your senators and voice that opinion. As a matter of fact, anybody listening who wants to support this bill can write to their local state congressional leaders and tell them that you're in support of this bill. And a handwritten letter is always better than email. It really, truly is. So please write now.
Yes, especially those representatives who are in the rural areas would be very important.
Coley, you have another comment? Okay. Thank you very much. Well, let's talk a little bit about, are you aware of the political landscape here for this bill? Representative Gary Lewis, I believe, is the original sponsor or the one who introduced it back in March of 2007, and I understand he's the only gay person in the legislature. Is that right? Do you know?
I don't know.
I have heard that. And as I said, there's been quite a lot of activity, extensions and more extensions. Do you know where it stands now? What's the prospect?
They're currently working to – anytime a bill comes before the legislature, before the representatives of the bill or the sponsors of the bill call it to the floor for a vote, they normally want to make sure that they have enough votes to pass it because if it fails, you have to start over. Mm-hmm. So the reason why they've asked for the extensions is because the votes were not there. So as long as the bill has passed out of committee and it has not been called for a vote, they can get an extension on the vote. But once they call it and they vote, then it's either up or down. So what they're working on now is to make sure that they assure themselves of enough votes to get it passed.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a sense of where it's at?
We are very close, but not quite there. And that's why this month of February is very important, because it will be called probably before the end of – it will either be called or extended before the end of February. And that's why it's very important for people who support this to let their representatives know, both on the House level and on the Senate level, to let them know. I think some of our legislators think that their constituents do not support this, mm-hmm. Either because they've heard from the vocal minority or their own personal preference. If you believe in justice for all, then let your representative know that and let them know that if you're in their district that you do support it.
So it's teetering.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there's multiple extensions indicate that this has been a struggle.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But this would be a good time, or this next month, to contact your legislator and indicate that you support the bill.
Can you give advice on how to go about doing that to our listeners?
Well, I think the advice is to be short, sweet, and personal.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give long-winded.
Yours is? your representative is?
Oh, God, you got me on the spot now.
Uh-huh. Well, there's Naomi.
Yeah, Jacobson. Naomi, that's mm-hmm. right. She's already a co-sponsor of the bill, too.
Naomi Jacobson.
So Naomi is a co-sponsor of the bill?
Yes, she is.
Yes,
right?
She is.
Mm-hmm. So House Bill 1826. Mm-hmm. If you're not sure whose district you're in, you can go to the Internet. And you can look that up, actually. And I can give the – would you like
– Please do.
It's HTTP, tinyurl, all one word, .com/7UG4 A, and it will ask you your zip code and your address, and then they'll tell you who your legislator is. Mm-hmm. And as Heidi said, a handwritten letter is the best way to communicate. Second best would be an email or a fax. But when it's handwritten and delivered by mail, snail mail, it has much greater impact because they get so many of these faxes that you just push the button and they get sent, or emails.
And if the weather doesn't cut us off here, we've got just a few more minutes here. Now, it's got to go through the House and then the Senate. Any sense at all of where the governor is at on this, Governor Blagojevich?
I think overall he's supportive, but I don't know that he's been asked that question, if he would sign it if it passed.
Know.
I do not know.
Hasn't taken a position on civil unions? I'm surprised.
I don't know.
Don't know? Mm-hmm. Well, assuming it passes the House, I think it's listed as up for March. You mentioned February, but I thought
February is when we're really making a push to get in touch with your representatives and let them know that you support it, because we want them on our side before the vote is called.
So March presumably is the next possible vote.
Yes.
Is that right?
And let me sneak in here for a second and say, we mentioned that Naomi Jacobson is one of the co-sponsors, and if she's your representative, that doesn't mean you don't write her. She takes, write all of your representatives, because every ounce of mail they get is one more vote that they, voter that they represent, that they can point to and say, 50% of my constituency, 60, 75, that's just helpful to them.
We have a caller in line one. Hello, you're on Keeping the Faith. Yes? I think we lost him again. Sorry about that. Weather's playing tricks on us here. If this law passed, what difference would it have made if we had...
Got him back.
For your daughter, if she were here and this law was in effect?
It wouldn't have made any difference. The conditions that caused my daughter to immigrate to Canada are federal law immigration issues.
Gotcha.
So that wouldn't have changed.
So she would have taken off to Canada anyway.
She would have had to go anyway in order to keep her partner legal in the country.
Right.
I just see that this law is a change in the right direction, however, that you have to make changes where you can make them, and that over time I would hope we would develop federal level laws which would recognize.
All right. We have just a few seconds left. We have a call on line one. Very quickly, your question or comment.
Yes, sir. I just would like the number of that bill repeated and the name of the bill, if there is one. And I'll hang up. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll end on this.
It is House Bill. I just lost it.
I got it right here.
House Bill 1826, and it is called the Illinois Religious Freedom Protection and Civil Unions Act.
Thank you very much, Reverend Heidi Weatherford, McKinley Church, and Kathy Spiegel, member of the Marriage Equality of Champaign County, and Jim Hannon, who is a parent of a daughter in a lesbian relationship and a faculty member in counseling psychology. We've been talking about civil unions. Thank you for joining us today on Keeping the Faith. Good evening.
You've been listening to Keeping the Faith, a production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.
Hillary Clinton once described herself as a Rorschach test. People see in her what they want, whether they love her or hate her. I'm Jim Fleming. Next time on To the Best of Our Knowledge, we'll talk about the complicated feelings that so many women have about Hillary, and whether it's possible to evaluate her run for president without thinking about the fact that she's female. It's To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI, Public Radio International.
Tonight at 7 on WILL Urbana. A winter weather advisory is in effect until midnight tonight for McLean County. Tonight in Champaign-Urbana, snow, sleet, and freezing rain likely this evening with a chance of thunderstorms, then a chance of rain or drizzle after midnight. Snow accumulation of an inch or less. Areas of fog after midnight. The low in the lower 30s this evening, then temperatures steady or slowly rising after midnight. East winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, cloudy with a chance of showers, the high in the mid-50s.
Support for today's broadcast comes from the Yoga Institute of Champaign-Urbana, offering beginner-level instruction in Iyengar yoga and special classes for men, women, teens, seniors, knees, low back, neck, and shoulders. New classes start the first week of February. Information at 344-YOGA or on the web at yoga-cu.com.
It's 6 p.m.